This is the Dean, Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean, Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Jamaica man, when my next guest come out, you know why I'm talking like that, man. Muslim Bilal, former superstar rapper, aiming for all what people are aiming for. Want to be like those people who get the Grammys, who win the Emmys. Want to be a mad rapper. And he's going to be here with us this week, telling us his story on The Dean Show. We'll be right back.
This is The Dean, Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum, Muslim Bilal. How are you?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah. I'm fine today. My name is Muslim Bilal. Muslim Bilal from the UK, United Kingdom, London.
Thank you for being with us here on The Dean Show.
Alhamdulillah. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm happy to be here. I heard a lot of good things and about the show, and praise is due to Allah giving me this platform to speak, maybe convey a message, my message to the youth, etc. Alhamdulillah, it's a pleasure to be here.
The viewers are excited that we have you on the show, and let's start off with the first question that I want to ask you. Was your name always Muslim Bilal? Because obviously a Muslim is one by definition who has submitted him or herself to God, to the one creator. So were you always submitting to God? Was your name always Muslim Bilal?
I wasn't always called Muslim Bilal. This isn't the name that when I was born, I didn't come out in the hospital, my mom and my dad or anyone said, yeah, let's call him Muslim Bilal. I was raised up with Jamaican parents as a Christian. And my name that I was given at birth was Ashley Chin. I was named after my grandfather. My grandfather was half Chinese. And yeah, they named me after him. He had passed away. So they named me Ashley Chin. This is my birth name.
Muslim Bilal, now tell us, before you came to this way of life, this way of life, as I always say, the way of life of all the righteous messengers of God, the ones who brought the message from God, from the Creator, just to name a few. Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus the Christ, and the last and final messenger of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They all lived this way of life of complete submission to the will of God. In Arabic, this is Islam, and this is how you get peace. How was your life before you accepted Islam?
Yeah, I come from a Christian background. Like I said, my parents are from Jamaica, and Jamaica is, well, I'd say, like, not a very religious country. Very religious in the fact that everyone believes in the Creator. Everyone believes they come from God. So when you're in Jamaica, you'll find everything. When they say hello, how you doing? They say, when you're leaving, it's all right, God bless, or etc. So it's a very, it's a high belief in God there. And my parents, both being from Jamaica, instilled this belief in God in me from when I was young. And where I practiced it was going to the church. The church near me, my mum would send me there, the Church of England, in Crystal Palace in London, South London. And I used to go there on a Wednesday to Pathfinders, on a Tuesday to Crusaders, on a Friday I used to go Bible studies, and on a Sunday I'd go Sunday school. And even in the holidays, because my mum didn't have much money, my mum and dad had split, my mum couldn't afford to take us on holiday, so it was cheaper to go on holiday with the church. So I used to go on holidays with the church in the summer, and in the autumn we'll go on a small camping holiday with the church. This was my holidays as I grew up all the way to the age of about 12.
So now you're living your life like the average person or beyond, because most people, they wouldn't have achieved some of the things that you have achieved. You having material wealth, having material things, chasing things that's, you know, what the average person is chasing. I want this, I want that, getting this, getting that, to finally coming to Islam. How did you come across Islam? How did this happen?
So when I was 18 years old, this is when Islam came into my life. I wasn't in prison. I wasn't under stress. I wasn't living a life where it was horrible, where no one loved me, and I was looking for a family. I was looking for love. Everything was going fine. Everything I wanted, everything I was dreaming of as a youngster was coming into place. Everything was falling right into place just how I wanted it. The name was getting bigger. The music was going well. Now we was at record labels like Sony, BMG, Polydor, Virgin, all these record labels. I was on first name basis with the right people there. I could just go ring the buzzer and say it's me, and they'll let me in. I didn't have to send in demo tapes. I was at the right level, what I wanted to be at. They was interested in me. Everything was going well. We was making money on the streets. We was respected on the streets because people saying we were the truth. We spoke the truth. So I was starting to get the name and the status, and this is what a youngster wants. And then I saw my business partner, the person who I run this crew with, this group. His older brother was someone like who we used to look up to, and he had what we had, what we wanted when we were younger. The money, the girls, etc. He had a lot of a big name and a lot of status. I hadn't seen him for about 3 years, so I didn't know where he was, etc. One day we was in the studio, a lot of us youngsters. Everything's going on in there. You can picture the moment. It's like about 20 guys in a studio. There's computer games over there. There's food eating. There's a guy mixing a beat. There's some of us writing lyrics. There's weed smoking. Everything's happening. And he comes into the room. Now, he don't look the same as he used to look. He's got no jewelry. He hasn't shaved in about a year. And he's wearing a dress. I'm thinking, why are you wearing this dress? He just looked different. He looked like his life was not as good as it used to be. He looked like he'd kind of gone a bit mad. I remember he came in the room and he started speaking to us, and he just introduced us to Islam, but in a very wise way. Like, and this is why I say it's very important how we give dawah, because he didn't come in there just saying, "Look, we all need to become Muslims, etc." He just came in there and started us making us think about the things we're doing. Like, what are we preparing ourselves for? We know we could die anytime. Death is the only guarantee in life. This is one thing he said. So why are you preparing yourself for later on this year or next year when death is the only guarantee? You may not see later on this year or next year. Why would you not prepare yourself for the grave, for what could happen after death? Are you not even concerned? Like, what could happen? Just the possibility. And it made us start thinking. He started talking about Judgment Day. And I remember he said three things, like, where do you come from? Why are you here? And where are you going? Like, you come from a creator. Like I said, I grew up in a Christian background, so I believed in the creator. I believe we come from a creator. The way he broke it down is, you are here to impress that creator. We know it's worship, our purpose, but it's like to impress that creator. So when he's saying impress, he said, because you're going to, when you leave here, you return to that creator. No, you don't go all blank and that's it, it's over. You return to that creator. Your soul is taken up and you return to that creator and you'll be judged. So I'm thinking, okay. And he said, you'll be judged on how you lived your life while you was here. How did you spend your time? How did you make your money? What did you do? What sort of things did you do? Everything you're doing now, know that it's being written down by angels. And the angels are going to, it's all going into a book. Everything. And I'm saying, like, everything. We're questioning this. Well, everything. He said, everything. Things you reveal, the things you conceal, the things you do in secret. Everything is written down in that book. And that's all going to come to light on your judgment day. On judgment day. Everyone will see. And you'll be judged. Depending on what is in your book, will be how you, where you end up, heaven or hell. So this just made me think about the life I'm living. And this makes you God conscious on a daily basis now. Before you do an action, think about that action. Is it an action that is going to impress God, or that you'll be pleased with? Or is it not an action that will impress God? And it was upon thinking like this that was bringing me nearer to Islam. I started realizing, hold on, we're a bunch of people that live a life that just impresses the people. That impresses the people around us. So before I do an action, I wanted to go on stage and rap and do things that would impress the people, the ones listening. But I don't ever think about, will it impress the creator? Is he happy with that? So I might have an ego. I might be boastful. And the people might like this confidence I've got, but does God like a boastful person or a person with an ego? Is this what was impressing the Creator? I might like to go and treat women and take her on holiday and buy her nice things and drive all the way from South London to North London to go see her. And she might be happy with that. Like, look, he travelled so far to come and see me and take me to a nice restaurant. But is the Creator happy with these things that I'm doing? So it made me more God conscious and think about the things that is wanted, expected from me, from my Creator. And I ended up asking this guy, do you know what? Next time you go to a bookshop, I want to come with you. I want to read some of the books you're reading. Because he seemed like he had this contentment that I was looking for. And I did. I went to the bookshop with him. And this was my introduction to Islam. Going to the bookshop with him, it made me realize that this is my first introduction. I got a book called The Truth for the Life of This World by Harun Yahya. They didn't give me the Quran, they didn't recommend it. They said they recommend I read this book first, The Truth of the Life of This World. And from the title, I remember thinking this is exactly the sort of book I need to read, because that's what I wanted to know. What is the truth of the life of this world? Why are we here? And this is a question that's on a lot of people's minds. And I don't feel like anyone really could answer this question until I came across this thing, this religion.
And with good deeds, we'll find that good breeds good.
Clear out your mind and your heart of hatred and preconceived notions of racism and nationalism. Because you cannot have anything inside of you that's like that against people and still be successful with Allah.
Muslims Allah tell us, we know that any sincere person, if they really take a time out from their life to ponder what the purpose of life is, and if they ask the Creator, only the Creator, the God who created everything in this universe, the God of Jesus, the God of Muhammad, the God of Moses, the God of Noah, the God who created this whole universe, who taking care of the bird in the air, the fish in the sea, the one who gives life, who gives death, that one Creator, if you ask him earnestly to guide you, he'll guide you. So before you came to this firm conviction that Islam, submission to the one God, was the truth based on logical, rational evidence that Islam provides, did you investigate some of the other world religions?
I investigated other religions to a certain degree. It was more like their meaning and what do they stand for, etc. And what is their form of worship. So basic like this. And I remember at the age of 18, turning 19, I remember thinking to myself, hold on. Everything I do, I just do it because my parents done it. And why do they do it? Like celebrating Christmas, believing in Jesus and God and all these different things, because my parents instilled this in me from a youngster. The school I went to instilled it in me. And where did they learn it from? Obviously their parents instilled it in them, etc, etc, etc. So I thought to myself, who do we just follow? Are we just a nation or just following? How do I know my parents got it right or their parents got it right? Who actually went out and looked for the truth and said, this is why I'm going to teach this to my son, because it's the truth, or because I went out and looked for it? And I thought, I'm going to break the cycle. Why am I celebrating Christmas, Easter? I don't even know what these things mean. So I thought, let me break the cycle. Instead of having children one day and just teaching them what I was taught, let me actually go out and try and find the truth. And we've been investigating all religions, what they stood for and what they kind of meant, their meaning and their form of worship. I felt like, wow. I remember going in the English dictionary, Oxford Dictionary is what you call it. And I looked up, what does a Muslim mean? Because upon finding out this meaning of a Muslim, I felt cheated. Like, you was holding this back from me. No one ever told me this religion was so simple. Because when I left the church, I was in a position where I was thinking, I remember feeling like a prayer before eating food. I remember saying, look, we said like, thank you Jesus for this food or something we're about to receive. And I remember we take it in turns to do the prayer. And if I wanted to say, thank you God for this food, it was a problem. And not a major problem, but a slight problem. I said, why is this a problem? Why do we have to say thank you, Jesus? Why not thank you, God? And why would this be a problem? God is the Creator of all things. Why would it be a problem? And I remember having this little slight problem. And this is, so I remember being in an area where I didn't know what I believed. All I knew is that there definitely was a God, a creator, and I'm just going to pray to that God, the creator. I can't go wrong with that. And this is where I was, in this grey area. Now, upon investigating all the religions, I remember finding out the meaning of what Islam is, what a Muslim is. Those who surrender themselves to God is a Muslim. Those who surrender, submit to God, God's will. That is it. And I checked out the meaning of other religions, etc. Like when I went in the dictionary, the Christian is the followers of Christ. I'm thinking to myself, every religion that I kind of looked into, they elevated, to me, it seemed like they elevated someone's status or something's status other than God. Other than God, to such a high level where they almost like worshipping that person or that thing. If it's not Hail Mary or Jesus or Moses or Haile Selassie, etc. They were elevating someone else's status. A cow, a this, a that. And I felt like Islam was pure. It was just, you just pray to God, your creator. And I almost felt like, hold on a second. If all of us was not influenced by our country that we was born in or raised in, or by our parents, and at the age of, let's say, 21, when you leave school, they say, oh, by the way, everyone has to choose a religion, and they put all these religions in front of you, and you had no influence, you was not biased at all, this would be the one we'd all believe. 99% of mankind would believe this because it's the most believable. Everyone could agree that they was created by God, because the fact is, the evidence is yourself. So you know there's a God, because you look at your own human body, you look at nature. And then if this one religion is saying all you do is you submit to that God, everyone will say, well, that's the clearest, easiest, simplest, straightforward, black and white. God created me, I should submit to him. How do I know that I should submit to Jesus? I might get to judgment day and God says, why was you praying to him when he didn't make you? And Jesus, did you tell these people to worship you? He said, no, I didn't tell them to worship me. So this is like you're taking a risk. And all of them was similar. And obviously, I started taking this life very serious. I'm not here to take any risk. I just wanted to go with what was the most truth seeming in my heart. And this was Islam. This is why I ended up with Islam.
Muslim Bilal, tell us, for some of the people out there, sincere truth seekers who want to know the truth, but now they've been caught up, misled by some of the false fallacies that are out there about Islam. For instance, oppression of women, violence that has been associated with. Now, it's one thing we know as Muslims, that Islam calls to everything good. Everything good, because God is good and he only accepts good. So tell us, what do you have to say about that when you come across a person that has Islam associated with some of these bad things?
For the people who put Islam with violence and crime and saying people oppress, we oppress our women, etc. Do you know, all I can say is Islam, it's the opposite. It teaches you manners and perfects your character. It's taught me manners and how to perfect my character in everything. And the way you treat your women is, like I said, in everything you do now, you're God conscious. What is going to be good to write down in my book? It's not good for the angels to write down in my book while I'm here. He was someone who was aggressive and angry towards his wife, and used to treat her badly. This is not what I want. So I'm going to try and treat her softly, have understanding, and try and please her, try and make her happy while she's here. Because I know the angels write that down, this is going to be good for me. I want to be someone who had good character, was good with my neighbor, who treated, it's not just about praying and fasting, it said the one with the good character, good to your neighbor. And that doesn't just mean the Muslims. The person, the role model we follow, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was good to not just the Muslims. He had a beautiful character to most of the people who we came across. So it definitely teaches you good manners. And not with regards to fighting, even with regards to fighting, we know that revenge is better to forgive. You want to give dawah, you want to introduce people to this beautiful religion. So the character, it teaches you to have a beautiful character and to treat people in a beautiful way, which you're going to get rewarded for. And, you know, blood spill and all these sort of things is very, very, very delicate situation. You know, in our religion, it says if you kill one person without a just reason, it's like you killed the whole of mankind. So this just alone shows we're not promoting this.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side,
I am not afraid to stand alone.
I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side,
I am not afraid to stand alone.
Brother Muslim Bilal, tell us, for those people who are still stuck chasing that lifestyle that you left behind, the lifestyle of just fulfilling one's desires, a life of debauchery, a life that is not a life of goodness, but a life of confusion, chaos, no peace, just anxiety, a lot of anxiety, going to the clubs, chasing the opposite gender outside of marriage, alcohol, drugs, gambling. The person that is living that lifestyle, taking, for example, Jay-Z, 50 Cent, and Kanye West, and all the other pop stars, movie stars, they're taking them as examples and wanting to lead a life that you live, but you left it. What advice do you give for them?
And some advice I have to these young men, the advice I have for these young men who take these rap stars as their idols, as their role models, these people who are showing off their jewelry, their money and cars, etc., and their houses and their lifestyles. I understand why you want to be like them. I wanted to be like them too. It's normal. We're raised and we're in a world where we're exposed to this, and it looks like we want that happiness, and it looks like they've got the happiness. But what I would say to you is, know that it's an illusion. It's definitely an illusion. We've got people that's come from that life that spoke to us and explained that it's an illusion. Explain, look at the likes of Junaid, Loon, and Muhtar Bill, Napoleon. They come from these lives and they've explained it's an illusion. We've got even the artists who are in there, Britney Spears, Pink, all these artists, they're always complaining about their lives and going crazy. We know that it's an illusion. We've got role models. We've got role models. And my advice to the older Muslims is to, we have to become role models. We have to become role models for these youngsters so that they can see an alternative of who they want to be like. When they go to the masjid, they have to see, like, I want to see older Muslims dressed nice, look like their life's amazing. Show me that your life is good. So I want to be like you. Don't come in and have beautiful voices when you're reciting the Quran. Do things that inspire the youngsters to want to be like you. Not when we come there, you've got a bad attitude and we don't want to be like you, and your clothes just look, you look very messy, and like life is just a joke. Like, do things, inspire these youngsters, because they're going to take the others as role models. They're going to look at them and say, but look, their life looks much better than my Uncle G or Uncle Khan or whatever. These lives look much better and more fun. So be role models for them. And another advice for the youngsters is, look at the Sahabas and look at the messengers of Allah. These are our superstars and these are our role models. Definitely. And when you read about them and you learn about them, you 100% would want to be like these people. When you see their mannerism, and these people, we know that they're in paradise. So would you not want to follow their footsteps? Because that's where we all want to get. We all want paradise. So definitely, it's better to follow their footsteps. Don't get caught up in Shaitan's illusion. I was heading that way. And believe me, there's nothing there that is better than this. So do not run towards a life that I'm running away from. This is the advice I give to those youth.
Brother Muslim Bilal, what about for the women? The women out there who are also needing some advice. They've gotten caught up in this game. This is a game, and it's not healthy. Boy toys, being boys' toys, and just getting caught up into the attention, seeking the attention from the boys, from the men, and really getting used and abused. And you know what? We want the best for all of our women out there, the not yet Muslims and the Muslims, those who have submitted to the will of God. So we want to give them advice because we want the best for everybody. Talk to us.
Advice to the women is, look, let's just be straightforward. Before Islam, I'm a respect for women. Like, you feel like exposing more skin, you're going to get more attention. That attention is not good attention. That's bad attention. You're just creating thoughts and of desires going through that man's mind of things he wants to do, and that's it. He's not thinking about marrying you, having children with you, settling down with you. Those thoughts will only come after he spends a lot of time with you and he finds out what's in your mind and that you're actually a good person. So in Islam, what I've realized is the men, what you'll have is you're a jewel. They'll look after you. They'll respect you more. The women are treated, look in that world, look in the music videos, the women are treated like trash. They're just like poster girls. They're just there to look good, to surround the men, to make the men look better. That's it. You're not going to get respected and you're not going to get looked at in a good way. Men will just, if it wasn't for Islam, before Islam, men, it was just, you just come and go. You come into our life, you go out of our life, it's nothing. You get heartbroken, you get hurt. Now come into this, respect yourself like a jewel. Respect yourself, dress in an appropriate manner and get the respect that you deserve and get treated like the beautiful woman you're supposed to get treated like. This is definitely, I just want to say one thing. I remember I was on Facebook and one girl was asking questions, was doing a question and answer thing. And a girl said, but what if I want to pluck my eyebrows and do this and do that? Because men won't be attracted to me if I don't do these things. So I have to, I'm more attractive when I pluck them. We are attracted to what our creator is attracted to. So I'm attracted to a woman, the more I see that she sacrifices for the sake of her creator, the more I see that she's attached to her creator and she loves Allah and his messenger, is the more we're going to be attracted to you. We're not going to be attracted to the things that you do which is displeasing to him. We're going to be attracted to the things that you do which are more pleasing to him. So don't feel like you have to do these things in order to seek attention from men. The things you have to do to get the right attention, the correct attention from a good man, is do the things that please your creator. Because we love what our creator loves and we hate what our creator hates. This is what the good men, and you want a good man, right? So do these things. This is the advice to the women.
Brother Muslim Bilal, can you go ahead and sing us or share with us one of those songs? The songs of inspiration towards good, the songs that make a person think, to really reflect, that really captivate an individual who has kind of been hypnotized, tantalized, mesmerized by the delights of this world. And sometimes when they hear some of the things of positivity that you come across in your poetry, you know what? Has a really a great effect. Can you go ahead and share some of it with us, please, my brother?
Okay, I'm gonna give a sample of one of my pieces. Like, I got into this poetry, some people like to call it nasheed or whatever. For me, I don't know what category it falls into. I prefer to say I'm just a speaker and I speak in a way which the youth understand. And they can, in the language which they understand, and in a way which kind of grips them. So, because two things I noticed is that when we was leaving the masjid, and someone stand up and say there's a talk going on after this prayer about such and such by Imam such and such, a lot of the youth, we don't want to stay for this talk. We want to leave. We want to get out. Our phones are ringing. We got the world out there. We want to go to. This is the natural stuff and natural distractions of the dunya. So what I had is, if people said that I'm coming, Muslim Bilal's going to be there doing this poetry, the youth will be like, oh, we want to go and listen to him. He's a rapper. He's this. So this was a way to attract the youth to come to these talks and make sure it's not just entertainment. It's not just entertainment. At these talks, there would always be a person of more knowledge, an imam or a sheikh giving a talk. So we're trapping them. We're attracting them. So I'm using it as a tool. Number one, this is one of the reasons for what I was doing. And the second thing is, even in my own message, I don't just do it for entertainment. I don't just talk for entertainment. It's in order, just like if you said to do a talk about how you came to Islam, I will do a talk on how I came to Islam in order to inspire people. I'm doing that, but I just beautify my voice when I'm doing it, and it rhymes. And it's a way where, because you know when you do a talk, sometimes people lose concentration after 10 minutes. In this way, I noticed that the youth, they'll stay listening to it. And it was also an alternative, a replacement for music. A lot of people said they stopped listening to music, they started listening to this, etc. or something else they could listen to in their car. So I like to talk about my concerns in Islam, my views, some advice to the Muslim youth, and my journey in hope to inspire them to, like I said before, not to go towards a life which I'm running away from. Bismillah. a black slave. I came a long way from my old days, and now I live life in the slow lane, making my way to my destiny. I'm living like a black slave. I came a long way from my old days, and now I live life in the slow lane, making my way to my destiny. Yeah, I was on the outside looking in, a ghetto child lingering, thinking should I take it now, the thoughts were just wavering. Will it make my daddy proud? What am I gonna say to him? Can I go back to my house? Mommy, I'm a Muslim. How's she gonna take it down? How they gonna take it in? Will I end up kicked out? Will I get a kick in? I don't know what to do. I gotta plan my next move. I wanna take shahada soon, but really gotta think it through. Now what's right for me, I have to do. Live for me and not for you. I don't believe that is true. The things I read in the news, it's my choice, I'ma choose. I ain't got nothing to lose. This is a religion of truth. Read the books, found the proof. Ismael came to me, sit me down and say to me, what's your purpose in life? Cause it just was like a game to me. And I would think occasionally, Ismael is right, I need to fix up my life, tonight could be my last night. So just before the summer, yeah, 2002, my mind already had a wonder, now it's time to make a move. I made my way down to my studs where I link up with my crew. I'm sitting on a single chair, running my fingers through my hair. I said, yo, it's your Phil, is your older brother here? Thankfully, he says, yeah, Ismael was downstairs. And he'll be up in a minute, he's having a word with his mother. He comes up, I tell him I want to take my shahada. He looks at me and smiles, I stand up, receive a hug. He said, I see you as a friend of mine, I look at you like a bruv. Now I can feel the love, no longer feeling lost. He said, take off your crosses, take a drive to New Cross. I met my uncle Yasser and his brothers from all over. And they said, it's time to leave the ghetto life, way over your shoulder. So I said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. There's no true God except Allah. Muhammad is his messenger. I ain't going church no more. I'm going Jummah, Friday, straight at Mosque, Mumtaz on the Khutbah. I wanted to get the front row. I had to get there early. He read the prayer in Arabic. I understood it barely. Really got to learn it quick. Got myself a teacher. And then I went to Egypt so I can learn the language better. I'm feeling all emotional. I wrote my mom a letter. In Egypt, feeling lonely, wanted to find myself a lover. I tried to get married, but I suffered a bit of racism. I remember he said she couldn't be with me because my parents were Jamaican. I said, hey, but I still pray and I fast in Ramadan. And he said, no daughter of mine is marrying a black man. I said, okay, I'ma make the offer for you. And you know what, brother, this made the offer for me too. I was just happy I'm a Muslim that came from the streets to Islam, the ghetto. Now when I see my brother, give a palm, embrace with a hug and greeting with salam. Salamu alaikum. I'm a Muslim that came from the streets to Islam, the ghetto. When I see my brother, give a palm, embrace with a hug and greeting with salam. Salamu alaikum. To get in contact with me, most of my work is we've got a website in the UK called Roadside 2 Islam. So roadside2islam.co.uk. And you can see a lot of my work on there. If you want to get in contact with me, I don't have my own personal website, but I have an email address specifically for people who want to book me or to just ask me anything. And the email address is booking, B-O-O-K-I-N-G, Muslim Bilal. Muslim, M-U-S-L-I-M, Bilal, B-E-L-A-L. At hotmail.co.uk. So booking Muslim Bilal at hotmail.co.uk. So any questions or any bookings or invitations that anyone would like to have for me, they can contact me on this email address. I'm on Facebook as M Bilal Chin, my surname. Or I have another Facebook which I use for people I've worked with or school called Ashley Chin, my birth name. And I'm on Twitter, which is Ashley Bilal Chin.
MashaAllah, thank you very much for being with us and sharing that with us, Muslim Bilal. And may God Almighty, the one God, the creator of all that exists, the one who gave us life, who give us death, the one who wants nothing but good for us. So to do his will is the best of good, to obey him and all the wonderful things that he's told us to do, and to stay away from all the things he's told us to stay away from. That's how we can be successful. That creator that is the one that I asked to reward you. So we started with peace, we end with peace. Thank you very much, Muslim Bilal. Salaam alaikum.
And may the peace and blessings and mercy of Allah the Creator be upon you too. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.